1802 and moved from Canaan to Keysville or Au Sable Chasm, New York, and then he's going to continue
life experience because
cause yeah, we still young, there's so much we haven't done. Getting married, start a family, watch your husband with his son. I wish it could be me, but I won't make it off this bed. I hope I go to heaven so I see you once again. My life was kinda short, but I got so many blessings. Happy you were mine, it sucks that it's all ending.
Stay away for too long, don't go to bed. I'll make a cup of coffee for your husband.
I'm happy that you're here with me. I'm sorry if I tear up when me and you were young.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Clubhouse Radio on 90.7 FM WGXC. Today, we're going to be doing a very interesting show. We have two wonderful guests here today. One of them is Jeff Friedman, and he's running for Greene County Legislator. And the other one is Mr. Z. And would you like to tell us about yourself a bit? Here,
I'm Mr.
Second.
Z. And, you know, the youth that I work with often call me Mr. Z. My full name is Brian Zimmerman. I'm the Youth Engagement Coordinator at Tobacco Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties. And I work with youth on issues related to public health and tobacco. Great
and,
to be here.
We have Phoebes as well. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. Hello, Phoebes. Are you there, Phoebes?
I am here. Excited to be on with y'all.
Great, great, great. So before we get into everything, we do have to play the news, but we will be glad to talk to you when we get back.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Louis Pierre Salarini and Jonah E. Bromwich are reporting for the New York Times that former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was charged October 28th with groping a female aide's breast, and I quote, for the purposes of degrading and gratifying his sexual desires, end quote, according to a criminal complaint filed in Albany City Court. The complaint was based on allegations made by one of many women whose accusations of sexual harassment against Cuomo formed the basis of a state attorney general's report that eventually led to his August resignation. Cuomo, who has spent time living on Long Island since his resignation, will now be required to appear in court in Albany on November 17th to be arraigned on the charge of forcible touching. The criminal complaint centers on an alleged interaction between Cuomo and an aide in the governor's residence in Albany on December 7, 2020. The charge caught Albany District Attorney David Soares by surprise. He said in a statement that, and I quote, like the rest of the public, we were surprised to learn, end quote, about the complaint filed by the county sheriff, Craig Apple. In such investigations, prosecutors and local police departments typically work together in initiating the criminal process. Cuomo's personal lawyer, Rita Glavin, said in a statement that the governor had, and I quote, never assaulted anyone, end quote, and described Apple's motives as, and I quote, patently improper, end quote. She criticized him for not communicating with the district attorney and accused him of effectively pronouncing the governor guilty at a news conference earlier this year before an investigation by his office had concluded. She said, and I quote, this is not professional law enforcement. This is politics, end quote. Forcible touching is a misdemeanor that carries a penalty of up to 1 year in jail. It is not an unusual charge, and it can be brought in cases in which prosecutors are unable to prove that touching was done for sexual purposes. Read the full story in the New York Times. Chris Bragg is reporting for the Times Union. Zephyr Teachout, who voters in New York's 19th Congressional District have seen on the ballot three times recently, is running again next year for the Democratic nomination for Attorney General. Chichau previously ran for governor in 2014, losing to incumbent Andrew Cuomo, for Congress in 2016, losing to Republican John Faso, and losing a four-way primary for attorney general in 2018. On October 28th, the Fordham Law Professor registered a campaign committee to raise money to run for attorney general again. Currently, Attorney General Letitia James intends to run for governor against incumbent Kathy Hochul, making room for Teachout's campaign. There have been reports about others considering a run for attorney general, including Queens State Senator Michael Gianaris, Queens District Attorney Melinda Katz, and Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez. You can read more about this story in the Times Union. Melanie Lekosevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Democrats Tiffany Garriga and Abdus Mia are competing for the Hudson 2nd Ward Supervisor seat. Garriga, 43, has lived in Columbia County for 20 years. She's employed as an office manager and business owner and is the co-founder of two organizations. She is also vice chair of It Can Happen to You, a criminal justice reform organization. Garriga has been the Hudson Common Council majority leader for 7 years and is serving as the 2nd Ward alderperson. Her name appears on the Working Families line. Garriga said the top issue facing the city is ADA compliance. She is proud that citizens will now have the ramp they have been requesting for years in the park at Promenade Hill off of Front Street. Garriga said, and I quote, "I am very proud that I managed to have the money secured and allocated for the ramp. I am also happy and proud of helping to secure housing in the city as well as support for housing in the city," end quote. She added, and I quote, "The people in the 2nd Ward know I am an elected official that they can rely on," end quote. Incumbent Mia, 60, has lived in the county for 25 years. He is employed as a front-end associate at the Home Depot Catskill store. His name appears on the Democratic and conservative ballot lines. Mia previously served as the 2nd Ward alderperson for 11 years and has held the 2nd Ward seat on the Board of Supervisors for 4 years. Mia said, and I quote, "Many people in the U.S. are facing the economic and financial impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Community people are out of work and struggling to afford adequate food and pay the rent, etc. I will work with the county to support and help our communities, like donating food, medical supplies, supporting local businesses, check in on seniors or the disabled in your neighborhood, and so on," end quote. His other issue of concern, public safety, housing affordability, and job availability. Mia said, and I quote, "I believe I will be a good supervisor because of my previous political background as well as my work on the diversity minority peoples in the community. I am one of the candidates who has more experience, been more dedicated, serving many years in the Hudson community in so many areas," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Hudson Hall, October 28th, announced the return of Winter Walk this year, marking its 25th anniversary. The yearly celebration will take place from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th, and feature an assemblage of outdoor attractions. According to a press release, and I quote, "including locally grown music, art, dance, and family fun," end quote. Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb says, and I quote, "Given the high number of partially or fully vaccinated residents in our county and state, we are in a totally different place than we were in 2020. Winter Walk is an event that many look forward to each year and one that promotes community spirit and goodwill. With the focus on outdoor activities, we look forward to celebrating Winter Walk's 25th anniversary on December 4th, end quote. Hudson Hall has also announced the winners of the Winter Walk 25th Anniversary Artist Grant Program, created to honor the diversity, ingenuity, and perseverance of Hudson's creative community. The $15,000 in grant funds given to artists and creative teams provides financial support to help create work to be featured at the December 4th event. Recipients of the 25th Anniversary Winter Walk Artist Grants include Art Shats, Diada Diada International Folkloric Theater, Dimitri Wild, Flowchart Foundation, the Hudson Festival Orchestra, Jonah Boker Choreography, Sound Artists MMS, experimental jazz group Microfauna, and others. The Hudson Opera House produced its first winter walk in 1997 to help bring foot traffic back to Warren Street after a long period of decline. Today, Winter Walk covers a full mile-long stretch of Hudson's Main Street and beyond on the first Saturday in December. Voted best winter community event numerous times, Winter Walk kicks off the holiday season by highlighting the shops, galleries, and restaurants and artistic community behind the city's creative economy. Phone Hudson Hall at 518-822-1438 or read more at hudsonhall.org. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 29th. The day starts out cold and foggy. The early morning range is 34 degrees in Kinderhook, 40 in Hallahan Hill. Watch for fog as it drifts through the land, appearing until about 10 a.m. A high of 54 is expected around 3 p.m. Get those wood piles covered up and those sump pumps cleared out. Another bout of rain is on its way starting around 8 p.m. It will last all night and all Saturday, which will give a high of 58 degrees around 4 p.m. Just remember, 40-degree rainy weather has been known to cause hypothermia, and that can kill you. Saturday night, more rain. Then we get into Halloween. Rain should taper off by 2 p.m., giving those little ghosts and ghouls a chance to get out there and cause some fright. The little ones may wish to wear boots, as it could be muddy out. But it shouldn't get in the way of any of the spooky fun.
Sorry about that. Frog in my throat. The closest possible snowfall today will be 1,600 miles away in Wyoming. Pollen levels for today will be low, and I'm pretty much done with pollen for the year. It shouldn't be bothering anybody else now that the leaves are down on the ground. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:43 a.m., high tide at 10:18 a.m., low tide again at 4:31 p.m., and high tide again at 10:02 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 55 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:41 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:21 a.m. And remember, due to the mountains, sundown on Halloween should be around 5:35 or so. Looking way up, we see that we could experience G3 class storms tomorrow, as yesterday's X1 size solar flare is expected to collide with Earth. Solar wind speed is currently 286 kilometers per second at 7.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for daytime and fair for nighttime. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 96. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hello, everybody. That was the weather and news, and we're back with the show. I am your host for today, Winter, with Phoebes, Mr. Z, and Jeff. And starting us off, I have a list of questions for Jeff today, and then we're gonna maybe after the next segment of news we might close it down, talk a little bit about smoking prevention, and but that's it later. But right now let's just ask some of the questions. And this is you align with Democrats, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm running on row A, the Democratic line, as well as the Catskill United line.
Okay, so I was wondering, what's your thought on the political parties? How strongly do your interests align with your political party?
Well, I guess you would call me a moderate Democrat. Mm-hmm. I certainly am somebody who most people would consider to be socially liberal and fiscally conservative. So I don't know how that exactly aligns with the National Party, because there are several factions in the party at the moment. But yeah, I would say that I probably align fairly well with my party that I'm running under. Yeah. But,
okay.
You know, I'm my own individual.
Yeah, of course. Individuality, I believe, is should always come before any party you're into or any label you fit in general. And I do have to ask you a question. There's a lot of discourse I've heard about people discussing whether Catskill should remain a village or should it be classified as a city. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think that right now they're weighing the pros and cons for that. So,
yeah.
You know, becoming a city would allow for certain other services and qualify for certain other state funding. But becoming a city also comes with challenges.
And yeah, of course.
There are requirements to being a city that the village may not be as well positioned. So I really don't have an opinion on it yet, because I think there's still a lot of work to be done, and I prefer to see all the data before I make a choice.
Of course, very important.
I think they're still looking at that. I would say it's quite far down the road, no matter what.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And if you did... You didn't sound too... It doesn't seem like too much of a priority for you, but I do have to ask, if you did get elected as legislator, what would be your first priority?
Well, my first priority would be to sit down and take a look at where we are in terms of our economic position. I think that the county needs a much more comprehensive plan and needs to be far more proactive in terms of economic development, in taking a hard look at creating more sustainable industries with better paying jobs. But that also, taking a look at economic development is a very tangled web, because there's so many things involved in that, including affordable housing for the workforce. And right now it's very difficult in Catskill and Greene County as a whole to find affordable housing for a family that has 40-hour employees or work 40 hours a week. Even in, for two people working 40 hours a week in a household, it's very difficult to find either homes to rent or homes to purchase in that price, in their price range. So affordable housing is extremely important, and that goes hand in hand with economic development. It also goes hand in hand with workforce development. We need a greater workforce. Our businesses are starving for workers.
Yeah.
And we need to create sustainable industries that are less inflation dependent or recession susceptible. Right now, most a good chunk of our economic activity comes from tourism. And tourism is a very fragile thing when it comes to economic downturns, because it has to do with discretionary spending. So tourism and hospitality is the first one to take the hit. And we need to target specific industries. Just target a few. And we need to do studies and hire some experts and find out where we're best positioned with the resources we have available and with the workforce that we have available, and what industries we could target to try to attract to Greene County. So that's the long-winded way of saying my first priority would be coming up with a good economic development plan.
Of course. And Phoebe said you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, no, thanks. For anyone who's just joining us, you're listening to Clubhouse Radio on 90.7 FM WGXC, and we're talking with Jeff Friedman about his campaign for Greene County Legislature. But before we keep going, if you're enjoying this conversation, I just want to say, if you appreciate that, you can hop on the radio and listen to teens from Catskill interview the candidates who are running for the offices that'll affect their future, then you're in the right place. And you might want to think about supporting WGXC and the community radio that makes this kind of programming possible. We're kind of in the last week here of a big push pledge drive to try to get sustaining supporters, so folks who donate on a monthly basis. You can just $5 a month. It goes an incredibly long way for WGXC to know that we can pay the bills and keep our volunteer programmers going. So if you like what you're hearing, you want to support WGXC, please, now is the time. You can donate online at wgxc.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. That's wgxc.org/donate, 518-697-7400, and your donations will keep programming like this on the air.
Of course.
But with that, I would love to ask kind of a follow-up question on the economic development piece. Because like you said, it's such a tangled, multi-layered kind of thing. And I'm just curious kind of, you know, what the conversation is looking like right now for folks in Catskill around the balance of, you know, kind of new money moving up into this area and knowing the reality of kind of our existing economy and what you're saying, the disparity between affordable housing and income. Gentrification is one of the fancy words folks use for this, you know, kind of challenge. But yeah, I don't know if you could speak a little bit more about that, about how you want to balance, you know, meeting Catskill where it's at with new folks coming in, but also wanting to make sure that the folks who've been here a long time can afford to do so.
So, yeah, so that is an extremely complicated question. Many communities have been grappling with the concerns about gentrification and how that can affect a community and possibly cause squeezes to existing population and make it difficult for them to live in the same community. So I know that sounds like a very political answer I just gave you, but...
it's honest. It's like, I'm worried about it and I'm not sure because I think that's where everybody is.
Yeah, so I would say this. The influx of new folks who have moved into the area has really been a boon to Greene County's economy. Mm-hmm. Retail sales are at record levels. We've had 17% more businesses open since the start of the pandemic in Greene County. So that's a huge piece of economic growth. Of course, a lot of that has to do with retail and makers. There's a lot of people here now who are, our creative economy has expanded greatly. I would look strongly to nurture that. I think part of our economic development plan has to include not only targeting new industries, but also targeting, creating opportunities for incubators and ways that we can channel some funding to assist small businesses or small local entrepreneurs to getting into business. And that, again, you could do that through incubators, you can do that through some grant funding, or you can do that through, you know, venture capital partnerships to create opportunities for new entrepreneurs to open businesses. So I think those are all parts of the plan, and it is a very tangled web that I'm sure I could bore people with for hours on this program, and we don't have hours to do it. But in terms of the housing part, that really is important. And if you want to address gentrification, part of it is it's okay for real estate prices to go up. It's okay for new folks to move in and raise the bar in terms of quality of life and the types of services that are available in the community. But at the same time, we need to create opportunities where folks who work a $20 an hour job, and not everybody has a $20 an hour job, but just to give you some quick math, look at it this way. A husband and wife, both working 40 hours a week, both earning $20 an hour. They make $1,600 a week as a gross. Maybe they take home $1,300 after taxes. That's their maximum monthly budget for housing. And I would challenge anyone to tell me where they could find a two-bedroom apartment for rent anywhere in Catskill, or for that matter, in most of Greene County, for $1,300 a month. Mm. Additionally, that is a $150,000 mortgage. I challenge anyone, if you can come up with the 10%, the $15,000 you'd need, or $16,500 you'd need to get your house, I challenge anybody to tell me where they can find houses for sale in Greene County that are two or three bedrooms that are $165,000 or less. So we need to create public-private partnerships. That means there needs to be an incentive from the government side to get developers to build housing in those price ranges where people could afford to live, and even in lower price ranges, because not everybody has a two-income family home. Yeah. Not everybody has a $20 an hour job. Most jobs in Greene County now are probably more than $15 an hour because of the raise in minimum wage, and also because it's difficult to find people to work. As you can see by the signs just on our local McDonald's, it's $15.50 an hour to start there. And I know that Walmart and some of the other places around here are starting even higher than that, $16 and $17 an hour. So,
and this is also to add on with all the shifts because of COVID-19. I was also very curious about that. What would your agenda on COVID-19 be? What would you do to stop the spread of it with your power as legislator?
So I'm going to take the presidential route here, but go the high road.
Yeah.
I will just say that the response from our county leaders so far, and I'm not speaking of our public health department, they've done the best they can with the resources and the staffing they have available. But our county leaders have not really done a great job responding to COVID. And we have one of the lowest vaccination rates in Greene County in New York State. We are, while the rest of the state is starting to see numbers that are starting to recede in terms of the number of people being infected, Greene County is still running hot. And so, you know, my first priority would be to make sure that we get assistance on both the state and federal level. We apply any resources that we have available to us to immediately get a campaign going to encourage people to become vaccinated, to get vaccines to the places where people have a difficult time getting vaccinated, and also, you know, making sure that we encourage people to understand how serious this is, because there tends to be, I don't know, this is my own perception, so it's I can't call this the truth, but my own perception is at some point, somewhere along the way in the last 6 to 8 months, the citizens of Greene County decided that COVID wasn't here anymore,
yeah.
Or it just wasn't a big deal anymore. Mm. And meanwhile, we have people passing away. We have people getting very sick, having long-term COVID complications, and our county leaders have stayed silent, and they've even downplayed it. So the first thing I would do is start a campaign to get people to understand how serious this is, to make them understand that there are people suffering from this,
yeah,
and to make them understand that citizenship comes with responsibility. Yes, the Constitution says that we have freedom to choose and so forth, but we also have laws like you can't drive without a seatbelt.
Yeah.
You can't drive drunk. You can't just shoot someone in the middle of the street and get away with it. These are things that contribute to the quality of society.
Of course.
Mm. So citizenship and freedom comes at a price. There's a price for freedom. And at some point when you say, well, I'm just going to do what I want and you can't tell me what to do, that infringes on your and my freedom. So
freedom to not go out and worry about getting sick.
Correct.
Of course. And one thing that struck me,
the three of us are wearing masks right now.
Yeah.
You know, it would be great. I'm fully vaccinated. I even have my booster. But it would be great if the three of us could sit here without masks.
Yeah.
I would love to ditch my mask, but I can't because the citizens of Greene County are vastly under-vaccinated. So when I walk into a place, I'm not sure who is or isn't. So,
yeah.
You know, my concern is that when I walk into a place, the people wearing a mask, I pretty much believe are the people who are vaccinated, and the people who aren't wearing a mask are the ones who aren't vaccinated. And I would bet that if you did a survey and people were honest, I'd probably be pretty close to right.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing is that strikes me odd is people always, or not always, but I've met a lot of people who say, it's my freedom not to. But even if it's your freedom not to, which even then is not completely the truth, wouldn't you want to take that step and wear a mask just to protect somebody who, for example, is immunocompromised and couldn't handle it? Like, that's something that always strikes me as a bit silly, if anything else.
I can only say I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes. As I said, you know, regardless of what any law says, as I said before, freedom comes at a price. There's a price for freedom. Everyone should, we have to pay that. Freedom isn't easy. Democracy isn't easy. It's work. Being a good citizen comes with responsibilities. One of those responsibilities is addressing just what you said, which is not only worrying about yourself and caring for yourself, but caring for your fellow citizen.
Yeah. And I was wondering if Mr. Z had any questions to ask you.
Oh, too many.
Come on, Mr. Z, give them to me. Give them to me.
Too
Come on.
Many.
I'm here.
What a great privilege to have you here, Jeff. Seriously.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I should just say that I've been a fan of Clubhouse Radio for over 2 years at least now. And this is my first time on the show, and this is just lovely.
Thank you.
I want to circle back a little bit, Jeff, if you would. Today in the paper, there was an interview that was published. You said that we rank near the bottom in the state for mental health, drug addiction, suicide, cancer, obesity, smoking rates, access to health care, and much more. You go on to say that you'll work hard to dedicate more funds to public health, and I'm curious to hear more details about that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you being, you know, dedicated to reducing the smoking rate, I applaud your work. I think that
thank
the
you.
Work that the Rip Van Winkle Tobacco-Free Council has done is amazing. And I've worked diligently with that organization over the years, worked with Karen at your office. And
Karen DePeister, that's the program director. I should just want to say that they recently changed their name to Tobacco-Free Action of Green and of Columbia and Green Counties.
Wow,
I should have known that. Formerly the Rip Van Winkle. Yes. So Tobacco-Free Action of Columbia and Green Counties is our new name, but go ahead.
Nice. I should have known that.
Oh, that's all right.
I appreciate that. But, you know, to address your direct question, I've been on the board of the Green County Rural Health Network for a long time. My wife is in healthcare. She's a midwife at the Women's Health Center at Columbia Memorial Health.
Mm.
Both of my daughters are in healthcare, nurses and such. And the problems in Green County are real. I know people have said to me as I've been out, you know, meeting voters and out on the out, you know, knocking on doors, that people will ask me, so what are the real problems? Because, you know, people consider things like opioid addiction or substance abuse something that only happens to weak people or people who are, not the best of society or just the, you know, the drug addict that hangs out on the street corner.
Mm.
And what I explain to them is that is, can be the furthest thing from the truth. Opioid addiction is something that can happen to anyone. Someone who has surgery and just gets addicted to the drugs they take.
Yeah, let me chime in and say it's a prescribed thing, too. For the longest time, doctors were prescribing it without really taking into consideration the side effects. And I have people very dear to me who struggle with this, and it's really unfortunate to see it happen, and it really could happen to the best of us. I would just like to add that. Thank you.
Mm.
Winter, that's an awesome point. I mean, that's spot on to what I'm speaking of.
Yeah.
So when you look at us, and things in New York State are ranked by county rankings. So there's 62 counties in the state of New York, and then you look and if you were to go and look at the statistics in many of the items that I just outlined, and we get these reports at the Rural Health Network, and that's how we each year determine our spending that we're going to spend, what programs we're going to try to support to see if we can address some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, I guess to answer your question most directly is the first thing I would do is I want to convene the stakeholders, the caregivers, the public health professionals, the people in our public health office at the county level, as well as people like Twin County Recovery Services, who are all the various stakeholders in the various places that are handling our health care needs in the county, including the hospital, which Columbia Memorial Health, which has numerous health care offices and facilities throughout Greene County and the region. Speaking with our medical professionals, our mental health professionals, our substance, you know, the folks working on the front lines of substance abuse, the folks who are working on the front line with suicide, with domestic violence. We need to have a gathering of real data from the people on the ground. The folks on the front line, more than likely, you know, from your profession, you could probably tell me tomorrow what's the best way to attack smoking levels in this county, what programs are proven to work and what aren't. And so then once we've identified the problem, we've got some suggestions and solutions from the people on the front lines, then we'll need to go out and we're going to need help.
Yes.
We don't have the resources in Greene County to fix these problems on our own.
Mm.
So we're going to need to get regional partners, state partners, federal partners to come and help us. We're going to need to identify funding sources. We're going to need to identify things within our own county budget where we can create more resources. I can tell you that our public health department in Greene County is understaffed and underfunded.
Mm.
And we are a small county. Every dollar is precious. The budget for Greene County is only $117 million. I know that sounds like a lot of money, but I can tell you that kind of money to run an entire county and fix our roads, our bridges, and public safety, et cetera, can dwindle quickly. So we're going to need to identify every potential resource we have at our command, and then we're going to have to form a real plan. Implement that plan with real assessment and measurement to see the results, and then adjust the plan as we go along to see if we can attack these things. And maybe we can't attack them all at once. Maybe we need to identify what are our most acute problems and attack those first. And I have to say, you know, people say, oh, you're only talking about mental health and suicide, and this is all on the mental side and the substance abuse side. I'm also talking about cancer. Greene County's cancer rates are very high, especially for our population. Scarier to me is the types of cancers you hear about in Greene County. We hear about crazy, crazy cancers, pancreatic cancer and brain cancer and cancers that, you know, it shouldn't be happening in a small population and at the numbers we see. So these are all things that we as a community need to address. And then the last piece of this is the healthcare piece. We are considered an underserved county for healthcare. We still have a shortage of access to healthcare. And part of that has to do with also is we have to address the transportation issue in the county because our county is getting old. When I took my job at the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, when I became president, which is almost 9 years ago, the average age in Greene County was 43 years old. The average age in Greene County right now is over 48. So in 9 years, we've gotten over five years older on average. We're going to need more services. We have an aging population. Access to healthcare is getting more challenging. And many of these people have transportation issues. So sometimes it's not just a matter that the service isn't available, because it might be available right across the river in Hudson, but they can't get there. So if we're going to fix this problem, we have to address every one of these issues along the way. And that's really going to be important in terms of bringing the stakeholders together to make sure that that happens. And I hope that answered your question. I sometimes can lose focus on what I'm being asked when I get too far into the weeds.
So. I get that.
I appreciate the level of detail very much.
And honesty, of course. And I would love to ask you more questions, but let's transition to the news update. And that will be all for now.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC news update. I'm Philip Grant. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul on October 28th signed three bills intended to close loopholes in the state's gun law. The new laws prohibit the sale of anonymous ghost guns, prohibit making or possessing real weapons made to look like child's toys, and prohibit the possession of unfinished gun frames and receivers by anyone other than a licensed gunsmith. Hochul said, and I quote, "We're just getting started, and we're not going to stop until we know that every New Yorker feels safe and secure, and that individuals do not feel that their only option in life is to turn to crime," end quote. Two other bills focused on research and gun violence were also delivered to her on October 27th, but she has not yet signed those into law. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Raymond Pignone rounds up election information for Columbia Green Media about the nine candidates from Catskill running for four seats on the Greene County Legislature. Neva E. Wartell is running on the Democratic and Working Families and is a WGXC volunteer programmer. She says she is running for her first elective office on a, and I quote, Green New Deal, end quote, with key issues including, and I quote, housing, food, and health care, expanding our infrastructure, creating viable employment, and revitalizing our agricultural sector, end quote. Linda Oberbar is an incumbent running on the Republican and conservative ballot lines. Oberbar is a former real estate broker and business owner and says when asked what the top issue in the county is, and I quote, "I look for ways to provide essential services and use county resources for desirable economic growth," end quote. Matthew Lavera is an incumbent running on the Republican and conservative lines, and the newspaper does not disclose that they distribute his video program. He says, and I quote, "Promoting business growth, local history, and tourism to benefit Greene County," end quote, is the top issue in the election.
Jack Keller is an incumbent on the Republican and conservative lines. He is a former owner of Pit Stop Discount Beverages and worked in advertising for Young Broadcasting, Clear Channel, and Turner Broadcasting. Asked about the top issues in the campaign, he responded, and I quote, "I have worked cooperatively with the village, town, and county officials, and I will continue to do that," end quote. Jeff Friedman is the executive director of Greene County Chamber of Commerce, running on Democrat and Catskill United lines. He says the top issue is, and I quote, "the need for a comprehensive and well-executed economic development plan to create good-paying jobs, sustainable industries that are resilient and positioned for future growth, and will help attract families to come live and work here," end quote. Melanie Flannery is running on the Working Families line, but did not provide the newspaper with any information about her campaign. Doreen Davis is a former Catskill Town Supervisor and retired pharmaceutical executive running on the Democrat and Catskill United lines. She says, and I quote, "If we examine the communities around us, Coxsackie, Athens, Cairo, Greenville, you will see significant investment either through work with the federal or state government or through the attraction of private investors," end quote. While Catskill waits for action at the thruway exit site, Monique Chestnut is running on the Democrat and Working Families line, but did not provide any information to the newspaper. Michael Bulich is an incumbent and the owner of the Bulich Mushroom Farm, running on the Republican and conservative lines. He says the top issue in the election is, and I quote, "standing with property owners and business owners over government growth," end quote. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup that the Department of Environmental Conservation claimed on October 28th that there would be no long-term environmental effects from a massive scrapyard fire the day before at the Port of Coimans. An air quality warning was issued for Columbia County on October 27th because of smoke from the large scrap metal fire at Eastern Metal Recycling. The fire department in Hudson was dispatched to Columbia Memorial Hospital because of the smell of the smoke, which turned out to be from the Coimans fire. A DEC statement read, and I quote, "DEC coordinated with state and local fire crews to monitor the scene and contain runoff from firefighting efforts. No long-term impacts to the environment are anticipated," end quote. The town of Coimans released its own statement explaining how officials thought the fire began. The statement said, and I quote, "fire started in a scrap metal pile consisting of crushed cars, appliances, and light scrap metal. It is suspected that a battery in one of the crushed cars has shorted and started the fire. The fire originated deep in the scrap pile and spread throughout the pile. There was not any activity in the area at the time of the fire. No hot work or welding," end quote. You can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
I often sit and wonder how your hand would feel if we were sitting on my carpet sharing chamomile. Keep a lot of little secrets that I can't reveal until we're high at 3 a.m. just sharing chamomile. I often sit and wonder how your hand would feel if we were sitting on my carpet sharing chamomile.
Hello, everybody. We are back with the show, and we are in the middle with an interview with candidate for legislator Jeff Friedman. I'm turning you guys up right now, and we're good. So I was wondering if you had any questions for WGXE or anything like that, or I'm just curious.
Well, I would like to say this. I've worked with WGXE for a long time as the president of the chamber, and they are a valuable, valuable local resource. Community radio is a vital resource for our community, for our local population. I've had the pleasure of being asked to speak on WGXE on numerous occasions over the years. I also think that I would like to help Thebes a little bit and say, hey,
yeah,
you got to support this radio.
Yeah, I was just about to go into that for the pledge drive. And if you are, because in order to do this
today.
Show, yeah, it's just a great show. We can all get a bunch of guests on, and it's lovely. It's really nice being able to participate, especially as someone who is young like myself. It gives me an opportunity to get experience as well. And if you would like to, we are available online at wgxe.org/donate, or you can call in at 518-697-7400.
Thebes is talking about organic relationships happening at the clubhouse and organic conversation, and I just want to really quickly commend you all for, you know, this is a radio station that's a sanctuary for flowing, real conversation, and I want to commend you all on that. And yeah, please do support the station. I personally, for years, I've just paid, $5 a month. I'll sometimes put more in during a pledge drive here and there, but 17 cents a day, and I can turn on the radio every day and feel good that I'm giving a little something. So anyway, thanks so much.
Of course. And I was wondering if, Phoebe, if you wanted to come in with any questions.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Really enjoying this conversation. I think, given who we are, Clubhouse Radio, right, we feature youth voices. Clubhouse is, you know, an open drop-in space for 12 to 18-year-olds in Catskill. And, you know, last week we had the pleasure of talking to Neva Wartell, and we ended up in a pretty long conversation about what's available for young people in Catskill. And I'm just curious how you're thinking about that piece of things, Jeff, and what you would like to be able to advocate for or see happen that, you know, can help maybe encourage more young people to stay local, or at least have a really, good opportunity to, you know, while they are here before they head off to college and the odds that they get to college. So just anything you think about what's important with, for youth specifically that you're thinking about in your campaign, I'm curious about.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's actually a great question. And, I'm probably going to sound a lot like Neva, but because
that's okay.
she and I talk a lot about this, and we're of like mind, as is Doreen Davis, who's the other candidate running on Roe with us in the coming election. You know, I served for a long time on the Catskill Community Center Board of Directors, and I was, you know, I'm still on that board, and unfortunately, we were forced due to a lack of funding to close the center, and it was probably the most gut-wrenching and painful decision I've ever had to be a part of. And so for me right now, I think where we need to go, but this community needs to decide that it wants to support it, is to look for a new way to create a community center type model. And maybe it's not in one location, but it needs support. All of the governmental support for the community center dried up to zero after being as much as $150,000 15 years ago. Mm. The county gives minimal support to local community center projects. Mm. So I think there needs to be a commitment both from the general public and from government that this is an important subject that needs to be addressed. You know, at the chamber, we're working right now on numerous programs that are mentorship programs, internship programs, apprenticeship programs to offer to high school age students to, and we're doing this in cooperation with Columbia Green Community College and Columbia Green Economic Development and the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, as well as Green County Economic Development. The five organizations have gotten together where we're committed to allowing our youth to have the opportunity to learn, to understand what our area has to offer if they're looking for a career. And this is not just careers that require college degrees. I had a mentor once who told me the world needs good ditch diggers too, and I know a lot of very wealthy ditch diggers. So, you know.
Good point.
You know, I hate to jump into the weeds again here, but, you know, in Greene County, the average age of a plumber is 57 years old. The average age of an electrician is 56. We need people who are going to go into the trades. So, you know, any programs we can develop, whether they be mentorship programs, whether they be formal training programs, whether they be rec activities. I was a varsity high school coach for 25 years at Hunter Tennersville Central, and we need rec activities badly. you know, one of the things I guess I would say that would be most important is the community needs to have a say in this. And Dorian and Neva and I even talked about the fact that, you know, maybe the town of Catskill ought to be looking at a public referendum on, you know, floating a bond, getting a bond issue out there that would allow us to build some sort of community center that we could have a valuable facility that would offer opportunities for our youth and for the whole community as well. When you have a center like that, it becomes a real community center. There's opportunities for distance learning programs for adults, for re-education programs for adults as well, and learning a new language and learning karate or whatever, you know, or just having an adult pickup league and volleyball or something. But, you know, most importantly, it gives youth a place to go and an opportunity. It's why I think this facility here at the clubhouse is so valuable to our community right now. And they're filling a huge need and a huge void that was created once the community center could no longer find a way to operate functionally. So, you know, I hope that's a decent answer without getting too long-winded, because I know we're running short on time. And, and I would love Mr. Z to have an opportunity to talk about smoking in this community. I think addressing smoking issues and the health issues, as we talked earlier, are extremely valuable. So he's here, and I think we should give him a couple of minutes. I'd love to ask him a couple of questions. What's happening?
And I'll just say to you, Mr. Z, you're welcome back for another show for more time.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Don't feel like you got to get it all in now. And I'd love for you to just
That's the thing. I would, I don't want to take over at all. This is lovely, and I want to interject really quickly if I could, because it's so on topic. You know, Jeff, earlier you had mentioned the creative economy, and now you're talking about mentorships and apprenticeships for young people. You know, I'm an artist. I've been a practicing artist for 25 years, and I'm sorry, I'll say it out loud. People like me can't afford like a studio at Foreland right down the street. I see an incredible intersection here. We have this, I lived in Brooklyn for 20 years. All my Brooklyn friends would love to move up here if they could. This is a great place for artists, like a world-class city for artists. This is sort of like, in a way, this is what Hudson used to be on certain levels. And so I get excited about what you're saying about apprenticeships and the trades as well. You know, and I should say that in art school, I learned everything I needed to know to become a printer and to get a job and make folding money from real skills, you know, from art school. So it's exciting to hear you say that, and I don't know if you want to respond to that or not, but or Phoebs or whoever.
I was, if you look up my resume, unfortunately, I've been on more boards than I want to talk about. I often wonder how I have the time for it all, but I somehow figure it out. But I was a longtime board member on the Greene County Council on the Arts, which is now CREATE. And one of the things that we worked on, and I've been working very closely with the folks at the Alliance for the Creative Economy. I don't know if you're familiar with the work that Maureen Sager is doing and the work that the Center for Economic Growth is doing with that organization. But they're shining a light on the creative economy. And I don't know if people know this, but the creative economy is actually the fourth largest employer and economic driver in the capital region. Now, the creative economy is a pretty broad
bunch of things going in there.
Yeah. So, you know, culinary arts go in the creative economy because creating craft beers is part of the creative economy because it takes real talent. It just much like painting a picture, creating the formula for a beer is an art. But, you know, we are blessed here in Catskill right now and across Greene County with an influx of makers.
Yes.
And so these are people
who
make things. These are artisans who are part of this creative economy, which, by the way, is very important to Greene County. And it's part of that 17% growth in businesses. It's part of that retail revival we've seen. It's part of our Main Street revival.
Arguably
we've seen.
Tourism as well.
Absolutely, because it's a big draw. People can come here now and they can get handmade. Heck, in Catskill alone on Main Street, you can get handmade shoes, handmade clothes, handmade hats, handmade, furniture. You know, this is what makes our area so unique, so valuable, so enticing for people to come and visit.
Yes.
Because I don't care where you go, you can't get the shoes that are made here.
Yes.
Somebody else may make shoes, but they're not the same. You know, and there are incredibly talented artists. There's incredibly talented art on display and for sale. There is amazing performers, musicians, actors.
Yeah.
The Bridge Street Theater puts on amazing.
Yeah, even just walking down the street, yes. People, yeah. You can see people playing instruments, and I think it's a great sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the work that they're doing at Foreland is huge. And the performances that can take place there, and I understand what you're saying about the cost of things and the price of things, and again that goes back to the conversation of affordable housing incubators, you know, creating space for people to live and work. One thing about Greene County and Catskill is that it is an incredible place to live. Where else do you get to live and work and play in a place that looks like this?
Yes, yes.
That has the opportunities we have here, that has the outdoor sporting activities that we have here. You can ski and kayak and hike and do 100 things that, you know, you can't do this in,
yes.
Truly
extraordinary.
In Georgia, you know, you're not
amazing.
You know, it's yeah. The views we have and the creative economy. I mean, there's a good reason why this is the birth where America's art movement started, you know, with Thomas Cole and those painters.
Yes.
It's because of what this area is. So in the same vein that I talked about the other issues, the creative economy has to be a part of that. And it has to be something that we consider when we're making these decisions on incubators, on apprenticeships, on, you know, encouraging folks to go into these fields.
Mm.
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah,
that was a great answer.
Yeah. I love that link, Mr. Z, bringing it together between, you know, youth development and the creative economy and connecting those dots, because I do think it gets lost. But, I mean, you know, Winter, you're sitting here as a young person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I imagine it must feel nice to hear something in between, like, college traditional route and, you know, plumber.
Well, exactly.
That is yes. Creative economy, because it does open up a whole world of saying your passion can be your work and you can sustain yourself that way.
Yes, I like how you're speaking to that. Yeah.
And I think that incubator piece and those opportunities for those men, and when I think it even connects to me when we think about what it means to invest in a community space, like a community center, because that could become a studio hub, right? So a youth could find access to recording materials or recording equipment or other things that could help jumpstart their own creative careers. So anyway, the endless possibilities. We're down to our last 3 minutes on the show. I'm so grateful, Jeff Friedman, for joining us today. The election is November 2nd. So for everyone listening, make sure you mark your calendar and get out there.
Get out there and vote.
Your voice matters.
Get your voice heard.
Yes, please vote.
Especially in a small town.
Yeah, exactly. Local politics are, to me, where really the action is at. All the attention goes to national politics. But these are the folks who can actually get the grant money that gets you something in your own backyard that makes a huge difference in your life.
So, that's right.
You know.
Well said.
So definitely get out there and vote. And again, I want to make a huge pitch while we're on air for WGXC. Every one of us here has sung their praises as just an incredible tool for communication that connects all these dots, that brings artists and political organizers and elected officials and everybody in between to the table to be able to talk about our community and the issues that matter to us and what we can do to make a difference. And Jump starts people's careers as well, you know, for folks who want to be in radio. It's an incredible opportunity.
Good point.
Our young people have benefited so much from having this opportunity. So if you're listening, you enjoy this show or another show, think about, you know, just $5 a month can go an incredibly long way for WGXC to have its goal of $5,000 a month to meet its budget to keep those servers running and their space up and going and our community studio going. It does cost money, but oh, the return is incalculable in my mind.
Yes, yes. Incalculable.
Agreed. We agree with everything she just said.
Yes.
And I, as myself, I find it very great that I have this opportunity to go on the radio show.
And you do an amazing job.
Thank you. I appreciate
it.
Very
well done.
Thank you all so much. What a great privilege.
Thank you. And I just want to echo something about voting. It's been said many times, all politics are local. So much more happens on your town, your village, your county level than that affects your community than your national or state agendas. So it's really important you go out to vote. Go out to vote wherever you are when you're listening to this. Get out there. Your vote is important, and especially in